Welcome, everybody, to a new podcast from Win or Die Sports called Inside the Lines. This is your host, Wesley Burris, and with me, as always, my co-host, Taylor Griggs. And on this podcast, we're going to dive into the betting lines of college, the world of college football and the NFL. Now, this week, we're not betting any damn preseason games. I'm not quite a junkie when it comes to gambling, but we are going to talk about some of the biggest games in college football week to week. And then at the end of the episode, I think I'm just going to give you what I would bet or what I plan to bet throughout the week in college and in the NFL. So, as I said, no NFL this week. So we do have five college games on deck for you that I think we're going to talk. Well, seven total, but five are the big games this week. I think that's kind of how we're going to format this. Maybe cut it down to three once we get the NFL, because I think we could – the NFL's so small, we could at least mention every game and maybe not go in depth on all of them, but mention every game and our take on it, you know, where we think the spread is, do we think it's crazy or whatever. The NFL lines, as I mentioned to you earlier, Taylor, are a little bit tighter, it seems like, than college. College sometimes is all over the place. I think it is – it's very heavily bet, not as much as the NFL, but we've seen a couple swings so far this week. Normally I would like to give you my picks and predictions when it comes to betting on football, because I kind of take this pretty seriously. I've done well at it over the years and hopefully can continue to do so, but I'd like to give them to you later in the week. This week, because of certain circumstances, I'm not going to be able to do that. So going to drop this episode tonight here on Wednesday. I think I'm going to shoot for maybe a Thursday or Friday type deal here. So you have time, at least a little bit of time, to go over it if you want some help in your gambling. I know some people out there find it hard to make picks sometimes. And I'm not saying I'm some kind of savant when it comes to betting on football, but I am pretty damn good at it. And I have a buddy of mine who's very good at it as well, a couple buddies actually. And we're actually really as good at it as most of your quote-unquote pro handicappers, who typically tend to stay around the 60-65% win mark. There are some guys that are as high as 69 or 70%. That's very rare. But actually, the last few years, me and a couple buddies of mine, we've been right there at that 70% mark, almost as high as 75%. And there's been a couple of years back that we were, you know, damn near 80%. And believe that or not, we actually go through this and study it throughout the week. This is something I've done for quite a while. And I just wanted to kind of bring you another podcast. I'm a little more interested in this than I am the other sports podcasts and things that we do. What's going on over there with you, man? You might as well just – I'm not going to stop recording.
Oh, nothing. I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah.
What the hell are you over there looking at?
Yeah, something on Facebook.
Well, put the thing down on Face Twitter. All right.
You get so drawn out with these intros.
I'm trying to introduce a damn new show for everybody and give them some background information if they don't know who the hell I am. And that's fine. Whatever. You going to take the reins here?
What are we talking about first? No, because I don't have any notes.
That's right. I've got the notes.
We're going to talk about Alabama versus
Louisville. We are. As I said, we're going to bring you about, I don't know, we're going to bring you the top games each week. And this week we happen to have five. I can give you some more information on the podcast later in the episode. Taylor's got to recover from whatever the hell he just looked at. The first game on the list, number one, Alabama. And they are playing in Orlando, Florida, against the Louisville Cardinals. And Alabama last year, 13-1, your national champions. Seven starters back on offense, two on defense, which I think could be the bugaboo early on for this team. The same thing for Louisville, seven starters back on offense, two on defense. They went 8-5 last season. A little bit of a down year, I would think, when you had Lamar Jackson and all the offensive firepower that they had. This line is massive. Bama's laying 24 points here. The over-under 62.5. As I said, this is going to be at the Citrus Bowl or whatever the hell they call that place in Orlando now. Do they still call it the Citrus Bowl? I hate that I don't know that. But your thoughts, because my initial thought here would be take the points. What would you think?
Yeah, I definitely.
Well, normally I don't just say, you know, take a lot of people approach gambling, betting on football in this way. I know there's a guy that called himself the Hustling Greek on a radio show I used to listen to years ago, and he would always take underdogs, and every week he'd bet somewhere between 5 and 10 underdogs between college and NFL. And he would He did all right. He was over 500, so I mean, he was. If he was betting those games evenly across the board, like say your normal better, it's probably like a. I would say your normal better is probably about $100 a game, $50 a game, something like that. And then you got guys that bet $5,000-$10,000 or more on games. I'm in not in
that
league.
That's what I like to bet on.
Yeah, that's what you. Yeah. So. I don't bet that big. If I really like something, you know, I'm in the hundreds of dollar range at the most, and I just don't see how you can just lay thousands of dollars on this stuff. But I do like to wager on it because I like to think I'm smart, and then I watch it. I really don't have an edge at it. I just do my research from time to time. On these games in particular, the big ones we talk about, these are the kind of games I like to stay away from typically when I wager my money. Just because I feel like they're so heavily bet, and I really just don't have a beat on them sometimes, and I just like to sit back and watch them. That's my theory on these big games, is if I really don't particularly like one side, let's just sit back and watch the game, because betting on football can make you enjoy the game a lot less unless you're covering. It makes it in your, and when you're like laying points, you really just want a blowout, you know? So you're not pulling for a good game. You just, I don't know. So I think taking the points here, I feel like that would be the play. I could see where a lot of people are going to bet Alabama. This line's actually gone down, I believe, to 24. I think it opened around something like 24.5 or 25. So it's gone down. So where they set the lines that come out on late Monday evening or early, usually early Tuesday morning, is how my site works, where I do my research at, the site my bookie uses. It comes out on Tuesday morning, so, you know, like after 12 on Monday night, we usually say after midnight. So I don't know. Really, all I can think about in this game is Bama's got to retool on defense. I could see a good offensive-minded coach like Petrino getting, you know, putting some points on the board. Bama tends to kind of fart around in these early season games. They don't tend to go out there and wear people out. There was one year against Southern Cal, I think halfway through, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, they were up or they were down.
I was tempted to pick Louisville.
Oh, but you're going to take Bama here? Oh, by the way, that is something we're going to do. Taylor and I are going to make the picks on our big games every week, and we're going to keep a tally. Yeah. Now, once we add the NFL into the mix, I'm going to allow you to pick from the NFL and college football so we can have different games that we're taking and see who has a better record at the end of the year.
I was tempted to take Alabama because I feel like Louisville, they're not going to be
good. I think Louisville's defense is going to be garbage.
I do.
It was bad last year.
That's why this got me torn.
So all right, so the way I like to approach this sometimes, is it logical? Can you see Alabama winning this game 31-7?
That's what I was thinking.
Can you see that?
I feel like.
Do you think it's worse than that? Can you see 38-7, 41-10?
But it's the first game of the season, so I don't feel like they're going
to
be.
Well, like I said, I would probably tend to lean towards Louisville here in the cover. I don't think there's any way Bama loses this football game.
No.
All right, if I'm forcing you to pick it with a gun to your head, you would take Alabama?
I'm going to do it.
So you're going to lay the points, and I'm going to go opposite you just to be different, and I'm going to take the points. So we'll tally that up and talk about it next week. Just really quickly, instead of recapping the games, we'll just talk about the picks on next week's episode, because we'll have a lot more on the next one, adding the NFL to the mix. Like I said, we'll probably go over all 16 games there. So our next game, I want to move into I guess we'll do Miami LSU, and this is in Jerry World. This is a very interesting one to me. Miami was 10-3 last year. They lost to Clemson in the ACC title game, big time. I think it was 38-7, something like that. 38-3. It was a big loss. They've got 6 starters back on offense, 7 on defense. Do have the quarterback back, a couple weapons. LSU is an enigma to me. I really don't know why they're ranked. Oh, Miami's ranked number 8. In the country, by the way. LSU comes in at 25th. They were 9-4 last year, 4 starters back on offense, 7 on defense. I have heard and didn't really go back to check if this was a fact or not, and probably should have done that they have already had a players-only meeting down at LSU, which is usually a signal that the coach has lost the team and there's kind of some problems there, because they don't have a quarterback from what I've heard. I mean, there's nobody on this team that has really any experience that anybody has any faith in. Miami's laying 3.5 points here. And that line has moved up just a little bit. 46.5 is the over-under. Neutral site, Dallas. I'm sure there'll be a lot more LSU fans there than Miami fans. Miami doesn't tend to travel. They don't have a they have a big fan base, but I don't all of them aren't in Florida, I don't think, or actually go to games. They're a little weird football team. But I think Miami's gonna be pretty damn good again this year. I don't think I picked them on our ACC pre our coastal preview. I don't think I picked them to win that division. I think I picked VT, if I'm not mistaken. And I think you did as well. But we had Miami right there in the mix. So all that being said, Miami's got a QB back. They got proven playmakers back. Pretty solid defensively last year. Good head coach. LSU, wacky head coach. Turmoil in the locker room. No quarterback. I'm not trying to sway you one way or
you're
the
not
other.
Miami.
Miami all day. Yes. The 3.5. If you can buy the hook with your bookie or online, that would be the play here. I think go ahead and lock this in, lay in 3 with Miami. I think that's a smart bet. I think Miami can easily win this game by a touchdown or more. I could see LSU playing lights out and causing problems for Miami up front. That's kind of where they struggled last year when they played teams that had good D-lines like Clemson and Florida State, athletic defensive ends and whatnot. And LSU definitely always has that. So I would say I have to pick Miami in this game, though, as well, because I just think they're the better football team, and I don't think it's smart to take LSU. So we're both going to write down Miami here as our pick for this week in that game. And we'll get more in-depth on a couple of these other games because they're really, really big. Our next one we're going to move into, the Seminoles, the Criminals, at home in Tallahassee versus Virginia Tech. This is number 19 Florida State versus number 20 Virginia Tech Hokies. Wow. Florida State, 7-6 last season, 8 starters back on offense, 3 starters back on defense. Virginia Tech at 7 starters back off of a pretty good offense, 5 starters back on D. They were 9-4 last season. FSU's laying 7.5, and the over-under's 52. What do you think that game is? By the way, I would think the over-under in the Bama game, I would you saying they don't hit 62
I don't
and
think
a half,
so.
Right? We're kind of getting sidetracked here. Sorry for the structure issues, but whatever. This is our first foray into this format. I think Miami LSU could go over 46.5, but I could also I don't like messing with over-unders too much. So, Florida State, Virginia Tech, your call. FSU laying 7.5. Francois probable at quarterback is what I've seen. I've seen that Virginia Tech's quarterback is listed as probable. So I would think that the fact that there could be question marks, maybe he's nicked up or something, I really don't know why this line is 7.5. This jumps out to me as crazy because I think Virginia Tech can easily win this ball game. What say you?
Florida State.
You would lay the 7.5 here.
Yeah.
What's your reason behind that?
I don't really know.
Because I think when we picked this game on our coastal preview, I'm pretty sure both of us picked Virginia Tech to win this. So if you think Virginia Tech wins it, what makes you think they wouldn't cover 7.5?
You got me questioning now.
Well, all of that. All of that is just look. I didn't really look into it. I'm just bringing you. I'm going to tell you my games that I pick at the end of this episode. These are the games that I'm going to research week to week really in depth. These other games, I'm just kind of giving you my thoughts on where my mind would go when I see the lines.
And what are you going to pick Virginia Tech?
I'm taking VT in the points, man. If their quarterback's playing, and like I said, he's listed as probable, I'm pretty sure. Let me look that up really quick. I mean, it is in Tallahassee. This isn't a neutral site game, so this is one of the two out of our – or this is one of two out of our 5 big games this week that – is a regular site game, not a neutral site game. Where the hell is this at, man? I mean, this just kind of blows my mind. Josh Jackson is listed as probable. I don't – this line opened up at Florida State was a 5.5-point favorite, and they have – the line has moved to 7.5. I just don't – now, that's early money, which most people, if you're familiar with gambling, is usually early money is sharp money, what you call sharp money. That's your sharps. They come in. Now, a lot of times they have different angles. A lot of times they like that line at 5.5. They're thinking Florida State wins this game by a touchdown all day. They take it. They put so much money on it that the casinos adjust the lines and the sports books raise the lines. And then the betting public and then the sharps know that the line's going to go up. The betting public comes in behind it, bets it at the big number because they just – most people betting on football are dumb. They don't do their research. And I say most people, I'm not saying all, most people just pick based off what they see. And hell, they might have success doing that. They might be lucky. Who knows? And then the sharps will bet the other side again. You know what I mean? So, like, they'll get it at 6. The line goes up to 8 by the weekend. And then they take it at 8 thinking it's a 7-point game. It's very weird how they do it. There's razor-sharp margins. And like I said, like, Miami started out at 3, by the way, and has gone up to 3.5. And I think it actually went down initially. So people were back in LSU, and now it's going back up. So a lot of action on all these games week one, and a lot are going to be on these games because they are your biggest games. I'm going to go VT, man, because I don't see where – if VT's quarterback plays, I just think he's better than what Florida State has at quarterback. He does need to cut down on the turnovers a little bit. I like Fuente's offensive mind better than I like Willie Taggart's. So I'm going VT. You're going FSU, right?
Just to be
different. All right, I got you. All right, so far we're different on two games, Tyler. All right, you know what that means. I'm probably wrong. But, all right, so what do you want to save for last? I think we'll save, yeah. We'll go into Notre Dame, Michigan next. Now, this game has been heavily bet because Michigan initially opened as a 1-point favorite. Now they are a 1-point underdog. And I'm going to go ahead and say, let's tell you a little bit about these teams. My Gamecocks beat these Michigan Wolverines in the bowl last year. Michigan ended up the season 8-5. They had a really good defense, not much going on offense at all. Only 5 returning starters on their entire team, yet somehow they're ranked 14th in the country preseason, coming off an 8-5 record. A lot of that, I feel, has to do with the transfer of Shea Patterson from Ole Miss. He's a very good quarterback. He's going to give them a spark. That's really where they struggled last year. And now he's going to man the offensive helm for the Wolverines and Jim Harbaugh. Notre Dame had a nice year, 10-3 last year against a tough schedule. They've got 5 starters back on a damn good offense from last year, 9 starters back from a defense that needs some improvement, but I think we'll get it with that many able bodies back. They went 10-3 last season. And they're number 12 in the country preseason, and I understand that ranking. I really don't understand the Michigan ranking at all, and I think that's why sometimes these top 25 rankings are kind of stupid. Like LSU, to me, shouldn't be in it because, I don't know, maybe they should. Who cares? That's all, whatever. Notre Dame's laying 1. The over-under's 47.
Michigan.
I'm on Notre Dame all day.
Really?
Absolutely. I think they win this football game by at least a touchdown. And
well, we're a lot more different than I thought we were going to end up being.
Nah, I didn't think so. I figured this would be about the case, honestly. So tell me your reason for the Wolverines.
What you said. Because
I just dropped the information on you.
No, I knew Shea Patterson transferred there.
Okay, so you think that just ignites this team and all of a sudden they're just
going to – I do think that's going to put them over Notre Dame.
All right, well, Notre Dame lost their leading rusher. I'm pretty sure he's gone. And other than that, though, they lost some production on offense, but I just think this team has been built well. I think they have a good coaching staff. I think defensively they're going to end up being really nasty this season. Look, Michigan has been sound defensively since they've been there, and Patterson does give them pronouns,
his
pal.
His recruiting class was like, what a
– it was big.
Top 5?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying. There's going to be some early contributors, but what's that stat you saw earlier when we're talking about the 5 starters back?
Yeah.
129th in the country. So they're the second youngest team in the country this year or something like that. So I don't know if they're the youngest, but the second least experienced team in the country. We should get out. That's in South Bend. So this is one of the other games. That's why I'm going Notre Dame. It's in South Bend. I did not look at what time this game is. I wonder if it's a night game. I don't really think that matters too much. It's big either way. I'm not going to go dig that up, honestly, because then I'd want to go back and do it for all the other games. We'll be more well prepared for you next week, guys. Like I said, we just kind of threw this out here on a whim because I'm not going to be able to do this Friday, so we had to kind of rush it. So just forgive us and give us a second chance here. So we're on opposite ends there. So I think Notre Dame can run the football. I think the defense is going to be better. I think they squeak it out. I think it's a tight game. Michigan is going to be better on offense. I just don't know if that's going to be in this game against a team as talented as Notre Dame. And it's at South Bend. I go with touchdown Jesus here this week. So I've got the Irish. You've got Michigan. Michigan. And our final game that I will probably go more in depth on than any of these other games, because this nationally, I think Notre Dame, Michigan's getting all the pub. The biggest game of the week to me, and I don't see why this would be argued. Two 10-win teams from a year ago. Number 6, Washington versus number 9, Auburn in Atlanta. So a virtual home game for the Tigers here in Atlanta. I think Washington travels well. Chris Peterson's team will be prepared. Man, I didn't know until I looked the other day doing a tad bit of research on some of these lines that Washington had Jake Browning back. They got Miles Gaskin back at running back. He's a stud. Those are two guys that can really make things go on offense. They love to run the football. Browning is electric, and he can run the football. He can sling it. Their offensive line is huge. It's a really big matchup to look out for, why I wanted to talk about this game last. Auburn's front seven defensively is probably going to be one of the strongest in the country. I think if you combine their skill on the defensive line, which I think is probably second to Clemson's in all honesty, in talent, a couple NFL guys all day there, and a big-time freshman that they expect to contribute immediately as well. And I think their linebackers are good. It's going to be a war because Washington's got two NFL prospects on the offensive line, big 6'8" left tackle, and another and other big horses just down there. I've watched them a lot. I've bet Washington the last few years. They really have turned things around. They can control the clock with the ground game. As I said, their defense has been sick the last couple of years. Their D-line has been outstanding. Lost some guys up front. Their secondary is probably one of the best in the country. And not to name a bunch of names, but that's a strength-on-strength type deal, because Stidham at Auburn, their quarterback, he slung the ball around. And I think his stats, if you went and looked at him, it's something like almost 3,200 passing yards, like 28 touchdowns, I think it's 6 picks. He had a ton of yards last year, and he can run the ball as well when need be. Auburn's offensive line is retooled. I think they only have 2 starters back up front. So I think Washington's can ease their way back into getting dominant on the defensive line against an Auburn football team. This is just an interesting matchup to me, because this has playoff implications right out of the gate. Not only does Auburn have to navigate a very difficult SEC West and SEC Conference schedule overall, Washington has to go through the Pac-12 North, which has become kind of, you know, I guess with Stanford and Oregon's going to come back, don't get me wrong, and Washington State has been really good the last couple years. The North is pretty tough as well. The Pac-12, I kind of rank probably somewhere around 3rd or 4th toughest conference in the nation. A lot of pundits are saying it's the Big Ten right behind the SEC. I would still say I think the ACC has more, and maybe not top to bottom, the ACC is not as good, but the athleticism there is better to me, and I'm just biased as a Southerner. But I think the Big Ten is really good top to bottom, and so is the Pac-12. Those are your 4 top conferences. However you want to rank them, I guess it's your personal preference, whoever you pull for, or whatever, watch more of. This matchup intrigues me. Auburn was 10-4 last season, 6 starters back on offense, 7 on the defensive side of the ball. Washington, 10-3 last season, 7 starters back on offense and 9 on defense. So pretty much lost a couple guys up front. That's about it. And initially, I did not know when I saw the spread for this game. I did not know that Jake Browning was back, and I did not know they had this much talent back overall. So I think my initial assessment of really liking Auburn when I first saw the line, because I'm so high on Auburn in the SEC, I still think Auburn could easily lose this football game. Auburn is a dark horse national championship contender to me, but I guess with all these weapons back and legit players from teams that have won – a lot of games the last couple of years, I think Washington has to be a contender as well, don't you? Okay.
Yes, well, I surely do.
Back to life. All right. So if I have to say all of that, who are you picking right now? Auburn minus 2.5. The over-under is 48.5.
Auburn.
You would take Auburn even though I just said all that stuff?
I would.
Well, my assessment of Auburn is this. I think – the only reason I'm going to go with them, I don't want anybody to think it's just Southern homerism or SEC homerism, because I am a Gamecock fan. I'm going with Auburn because of the defense. I just think they're going to wreak havoc on Washington. But I don't know, man. This is still a toss-up to me. I might just go opposite you.
We haven't done it enough.
Well, just to do it. I don't know,
I
man.
I think we only agreed on one game.
But this game is really starting – it's really put me in a weird position because I know Washington has a lot of talent now that I've researched the game a little bit, and the more I think about it, this is the kind of team that's going to give Auburn fits. I mean, you can't line up and just run at Auburn. And so, but that's where a guy like Jake Browning comes into play because he's got wheels. He's got a big arm. He's been a big-time pro prospect for years, and he's gotten banged up a couple times, and it's kind of delayed. I mean, they've been talking about him since he was a freshman, that this was an NFL guy, and I'm not going to deny that now. I mean, obviously, he's going to be one of the top – if he has a good year and stays healthy, he's going to be one of the top quarterback prospects next year. And I think Stidham can actually leave as well, so I think he's going to be right up there with him. Oh, this is difficult. I guess I'm going to give it to Auburn because Washington has to travel across the country. It is a virtual home game. A lot of Auburn fans in Atlanta. They always pack that building anytime they get to play there. I'll give the nod to War Eagle, I guess, this week.
War Eagle.
War damn Eagle. I'll play along with you now. I like Auburn a lot more until I read into some things about this game, to be completely honest with you. So, out of all the picks this week, and we got you got Bama, I've got Louisville. We both took Miami. We're on opposite sides in the Virginia Tech Florida State game, opposite sides Notre Dame Michigan, and we got the same pick in the Auburn Washington game. So,
we'll see how one it of shakes us is, out.
Oh, yeah. We're going to see. We're going to know this week who's in the lead and at least have a little trash talking for a week. And as I said earlier, and I'm going to probably repeat this again, going to have a lot more games to go over the next week, a little bit more in-depth, longer episode, try to get our days right with all these different little podcasts we're doing, bring you a bunch of information, going to add the NFL in the mix, so that's going to be 16 games to go through right then. Going to try to speed through it when we get to all that, not mess around too much, and probably cut the big college games down to maybe two or three. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, because there's really not.
There's not going to be five big games like this. I mean, there will once the season gets going, but not like week two through four or whatever. No, it's not going to be like that. And we'll figure it out because I actually wager more on the NFL than I do college anyway. So that would probably be more fun with me. This portion of the episode now is where I'm going to go into two games that I'm pretty sure.
Wes's wagers.
These are my wagers. These are what I'm going to probably bet on. And
we
I
need
say
to have
probably
separate music for this part.
We don't, but we
the
don't.
Gambler by Kenny Rogers.
No, we don't. But I will bet these games. I say probably. I'm going to bet these games based off what I know right now. I just these are two games that stood out to me as the lines were kind of dumb, and there's one of them that I think some people are going to really scoff at, and one of them that just to me just makes perfect sense. First game. This is as some people have told me. My hipster betting comes into play. I have to bet on teams that other people don't bet on just to think I'm cool, but that is not true. I've made a lot of money the last few years doing this. Smaller teams, good offenses. I like to mess with it. Old Dominion and Liberty. Old Dominion's laying 6.5 points here, Taylor. Over-under's 58.5. I've made a lot of money on Old Dominion the last few years. Didn't mess with them too much last year, a couple times. I think I actually split my bets with them last year because I was wrong early in the season on them, and then later in the season I found a way to make some money back taking them against somebody. I can't remember that game exactly. Old Dominion went 5-7 last year, you know, just did miss going to a bowl, and they're in the Conference USA. They have 8 returning starters on offense, 7 on defense. Old Dominion is a frustrating team to watch and gamble on, and I'll tell you why. They run a spread offense, and you look at it, and you're like, oh, they're going to go come out here and throw the ball all over the yard. No. They run almost exclusively. They rotate backs in left and right. Their quarterbacks are typically athletic. Your guy now, the backup for your Carolina Panthers, is an Old Dominion alum. What's his name? Heineke? Whatever it is. Yeah, he played at Old Dominion a couple years ago. So this is an offense that loves to run the football. They've been in FBS now, I think, 5 or 6 years. This is Liberty's first year in at the FBS level. A very large school, private school started by Jerry Falwell, religious school. They went 3-9 last year at the FCS level. They have 9 starters back on offense, 6 on defense. I feel like they're overmatched here, not by a ton. Both of these schools are in the state of Virginia.
pretty sure that they used to have a pretty good rivalry going there. So I think Old Dominion takes it. They can win by more than a touchdown in my mind. It's a 6.5-point line. I just feel like that's one that jumped out to me. I said, you know, Liberty's got a bunch of starters back. They're going to be improved. This is the kind of game to get them acclimated to the FBS level. They're not facing somebody that's going to overwhelm them, but I think Old Dominion's the better team. I definitely think they can win by a touchdown or more. So I'm taking Old Dominion minus the 6.5. I just feel like they'll run the football and be able to impose their will on Liberty in that ball game. The second pick of mine this week is one that I think I picked first when I looked at the sheet that I got from my bookie friend earlier in the week. That's Cal versus North Carolina. And Cal's laying 7 here. And they beat the Tar Heels. Let me look real quick. I'm pretty sure they beat them by 10. Give me 1 second, Taylor. And
sure, I'll talk about this.
You just go ahead and
I don't know anything
throw
about
out there
these
what
teams.
You want to do. No, they won by 5. 35-30. Yeah, that's right, because North Carolina made a comeback late. Here's the reason I take Cal, though. Cal went 5-7 last year, just didn't miss making a bowl. 10 starters back on the offensive side of the ball and 8 starters back on the defensive side. And Coach Wilcox's team here, you know, they were close last year. They need improvement. And I think they're going to have a win in week 1 against North Carolina. The Tar Heels were 3-9, 1-7 in the ACC last year, and nothing brings more joy to me than watching them lose. Well, some things do, but not much else. I really hate those guys. 5 starters back on offense, 7 on defense. They have 4 players that I'm pretty sure are going to be suspended in this game. Their starting quarterback will not participate in this game. The backup will. They've got a mess going on there, and I don't really like Larry Fedora. I don't think he had a couple nice teams there a few years ago. It looked like they were kind of climbing the ladder and going to be the team on the other side in the ACC that could compete with Clemson and Florida State. That time, they had a nice recruiting class this year, so I'm not going to say they're just done, but I feel like this team is going to struggle early on with the suspensions and whatnot. I think Cal is too strong of a team offensively for them to deal with week 1 with a defense that was just not good last season. I think Cal gets it done, can easily beat them by more than a touchdown. You're laying the 7 here. I know they only beat them by 5 last year. That game was not close for a long time. North Carolina clawed their way back into it, but they didn't have any time at the end of the game to get it done. So I'm taking Cal and Old Dominion this week. Those are my 2 picks. I'm not going to call them absolute locks because week 1 I kind of try to take it easy, see where the chips fall, see what some of these teams look like. And then week 3 and week 4 I usually start to get a bead on these things. And I typically like to bet NFL a lot more than college anyway. So as I've said a couple times on the podcast already, we'll just reiterate here. Taylor follows the NFL more than he does college football, correct? So I think
sure do.
Yeah, and I stick to it. I follow them both pretty much equally, but I probably spend more time in depth watching college football, but I like to bet NFL a little bit more. I find it a little bit easier to gamble on, where some people completely disagree with that. I just find that to be the case. So we're going to bring you a rundown next week. Probably all the NFL games, and maybe not all of them. We'll figure that out as we go along. This was thrown together. Sorry, it's been a little bit sloppy. But that's pretty much how the format of the show is going to work. We're going to bring you the big games at the beginning of the episode, what to look for nationally, and then usually maybe give you a little perspective of where things are shaking down, give you a rundown of the top 25 later on in the season as it really starts to matter, and then getting to the NFL. That's going to be a lot of content, so the episodes are going to be longer. Hope that's easy enough for you guys to digest and listen to. If you have to listen to it in pieces, that's cool as well. And then at the end of each episode, I'm going to give you my picks, which are typically I'm probably going to try to give you like 2 picks of college and at least 2 picks in the pros. And maybe 1 week all my picks will be college or all will be pros. Who knows? But I'm going to try to do a little bit of both, and we'll see where we go from there. So that being said, I think we can wrap this episode up. This is the first episode of Inside the Lines, which is a Win or Die Sports production brought to you by myself, Wesley Burris, and my co-host Taylor Griggs. And we appreciate any feedback that you want to give us. And we're going to get a email set up and whatnot in the future. This has kind of been thrown together. So like us and follow us. You know the drill. about where to find us on social media and whatnot. Stay tuned in the future. We're going to bring you this content weekly, and this is something I'm really, really excited about. I like to bet on football. I love watching football and like to share my insight and thoughts with you. So stay tuned, and we'll bring it back with you next week.